This is the Four Wheel Parts Down and Dirty Show Off-Road Edition, powered by Polaris Razor. We're taking it back to the roots, getting dirty and covering all things off-road, because pavement, well, that's for it's gloves off, in your face, on the edge, and the way off-road should be. We're your definitive source for all things dirt.
4WP is more than a store. We're truck and Jeep experts and have been for over 50 years. From wheel and tire upgrades to full custom builds, 4WP has you covered. Whether you want to order the best parts online or shop in-store, do the work yourself, or get it done by a pro, all roads lead to 4WP. Do your rig right. Shop online or find your store at 4WP.com.
Welcome to the Four Wheel Parts Down and Dirty Show Off-Road Edition, powered by Polaris Razor. Jim Beaver here, and I got to tell you, we got a fun one today. Thank you guys for joining us. Man, this podcast, you know, when we decided to kind of do a second weekly Down and Dirty Show, all things dedicated to off-road, I didn't realize the feedback would be as amazing as it is. We've been fortunate to have some great guests so far. And I got to tell you, today's guests, the Martelli brothers, do not disappoint. Josh and Matt Martelli both joining me for the first time ever. Had them both on air at different times, but this time both of the brothers going to be on air at the same time. Reason being is that we've had some massive, massive news in off-road this past week. Mint 400 and Best in the Desert deciding to part ways. Mint 400 and UTV World Championship going to be run independently by the Martelli brothers and Mad Media moving forward. Best in the Desert has... they're going their direction, and they're going to bring in some new events. You know, it's one of those things. I've been getting hit on social media. What do you think? This and that. You know, I talked on the national show, did an entire segment on it, and, you know, I decided for this, you know what? Better than me speculating, better than me brainstorming about the future of off-road, you know what? Let's just get the guys behind the announcement, the Martelli brothers, who are behind the steering wheel in regards to the Mint 400 and the UTV World Championship. Let's get them on air. And that's what we did. Spent over an hour with these guys, close friends of mine, my brothers, just being able to talk about, you know, just the future of the sport of off-road, not necessarily the Mint 400 and the UTV World Championship, but where we're at and where we're going to be moving forward. These guys eat, sleep, breathe this stuff, and, you know, it's really, really exciting to have both of them on air at the same time, man. That's not an easy task. I've had them both separately, but getting them both nailed down to the same place at the same time, that is definitely a big undertaking, but we were able to manage it this week. Think you guys are going to enjoy this interview. Before we get to that, though, please go over to iTunes. If you haven't already, subscribe to the Down and Dirty Show feed. You're going to get both my national show, the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor, and the Four Wheel Parts Off-Road Edition, both of them being dropped every week into the feed. So make sure and go to iTunes, hit the subscribe button. Please leave a rating or review when you're there as well. Check us out at downanddirtyshow.com. We just are killing the content game over there. All kinds of news, articles, videos. Yes, we're bringing in video. We've also got like a YouTube and Twitch channel. Twitch channel is up to almost 100 subscribers now. YouTube, man, we're getting a ton of views on our YouTube channel. So lots of content being dropped on the weekly on those, so make sure and check those out. I am at JimBeaver15 on social media. Man, Silver State 300 this weekend. We got Lucas Oil south of the border in a couple of weeks. Got the Baja 500 going on. And we've got, I think Ultra 4 is down in San Felipe as well. We Nora Mexican 1000 going on. Like, we are knee-deep in off-road right now. There is such a lot to talk about in the next couple of weeks right here on the Off-Road Edition. As always, if you guys have any guest suggestions, people you'd like to hear on the show, make sure and hit me up. I know we've had some requests for the Eisenhower brothers, working on that. Also had some requests from Mr. Sal Fish. I know he is racing the Nora 1000 right now, but I'll get a hold of Mr. Fish after he gets back from Nora and see if we can get the godfather of all things off-road right here on the podcast. That would be a ton of fun. Love Sal. I've interviewed him a couple of times now, and I would absolutely love to get him back on the show and find out what the hell he has been up to recently. It seems like his health is super good, enough that he's going down down and bouncing around Baja at the Nora Mexican 1000. So, you know, life is good for Mr. Fish, and I would love to catch up with Sal. Man, we've got a lot to talk about in the coming weeks. I'm excited for it. Thank you guys for supporting the podcast. And with that, we are going to take a short commercial break, and then we're going to go uncut with the Martelli brothers for a good hour right here on the Four Wheel Parts Down and Dirty Show Off-Road Edition, powered by Polaris Razor.
Want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris Razor brings it to you. But you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris Razor because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team Razor because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris Razor because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRazor.com or follow at Polaris Razor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RazorLife to share your story.
When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more. Anywhere is possible. It's more than just a slogan. Anywhere is possible with General Tire's wide variety of tires for whatever it is that you drive. Whether you're looking for off-road capability balanced with impressive on-road performance or ultra-high performance offering all-season traction designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has what you need to get where you're going. General Tire, providing anywhere as possible with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012.
Do you race or are you a weekend warrior? Have you checked on the date on your helmet recently? Don't get caught off guard by using an outdated helmet. Impact Racing, the leader in motorsport safety, has new SA 2015 helmets to fit your budget. Whether you're looking for a helmet with a full carbon fiber shell to take you to victory at the Indy 500, or just looking for some helmets for a weekend at Glamis, Impact Racing has a helmet for you. Find out more information at ImpactRaceProducts.com or on Facebook at Impact Safety.
Hey, this is Jim Beaver, host of the Down and Dirty Radio Show. Getting down and dirty on the racetrack is all fun and games until it's time to get the dirt off. I know it all too well, which is why I partnered with MotoShield Pro, the leaders in nanotechnology solutions on the racetrack and in off-road to combat mud and dirt buildup on my vehicles. MotoShield Pro keeps us from taking unnecessary damage and spending extra energy on cleaning. No matter the weather or the surface, having proper protection on all my vehicles saves me plenty of reprep time in a sport where every second counts. Prep your vehicle like a pro. Learn more at MotoShieldPro.com.
Life is all about sound. The sound of sports. The sound of the racetrack. And the sound of your vehicle. Don't drive around listening to this. Drive around listening to the sound of performance. Gibson Performance. Gibson Performance Exhaust is the company who can turn this into this. Remember that life is all about sound, and Gibson Exhaust is the sound of performance. Check out your next catback exhaust system, headers, muffler, or UTV exhaust at GibsonPerformance.com and get more power and more sound.
Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for a 15% discount.
Holy gosh! Oh man, that was a hell of a ride.
Go check out MyMedic.com for the best first aid kits on the planet and save 15% with discount code Jim Beaver. Again, MyMedic.com, discount code Jim Beaver, and save 15%. It's cheaper than a funeral.
All right, I'd like to welcome my two guests this week to the show. First time I've interviewed both of you guys at separate times. This is the first time at the same time, though. Matt and Josh Martelli, the Martelli brothers. Welcome to the show, my friends.
Thanks, Jim.
Hey, Jim. It's great to be here, man. Yeah, this might be a first. I think it might be the first time we're both on at the same time.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know. I think I've interviewed you both countless times, but, you know, same place, same time. Like, I'm like, man, this is something special. But there's a reason for it. We got a lot to talk about just in the off-road space and just kind of the industry in general and things like that. But some big breaking news, you know, in the past couple of days. Mint 400 independent in 2020. I know talking with you guys, this was something that, you know, you've had a phenomenal relationship with Best in the Desert, but this is something, you know, I know you've always thought to grow this thing. You've really got to have full control. And, you know, it sounds like, you know, things are there. I mean, kind of take us through this and, you know, and this decision, because I know this is not something that, you know, you guys just woke up one day and said, hey, we want to all of a sudden hire all these volunteers and be in charge of this massive event all on our own.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, look, it's been, you know, it's been coming. It's been going on our ninth year of operating the Mint. And, you know, we've had a fantastic relationship with Best in the Desert. Absolutely love them as an organization. But, you know, we want to implement our ideas. And we have a lot of things that we want to try. And as you know, both Josh and I spent a lot of time going and looking at other forms of motorsports and other events and what they're doing well and looking at how do we bring that to off-road and how do we, you know, use that as a tool to make it better for the spectators, the racers, the sponsors, and then really grow the eyeballs. Because, you know, we've always said we feel like we've got, you know, the most underviewed motorsport in the world. You know, I think we've got something here that's extremely valuable. Now it's up to us to shepherd that into, you know, a new level. And you know, it's just a evolutionary thing. You got to move out of the parents' house sometime, right?
Yeah, you don't want to grow up in the basement, right?
right. So, no, it's good. And, you know, there's no ill will towards either party. I mean, like I said, Donald and Liz have been great to work with. The Folks brothers have been great to work with. Obviously, Casey was a great partner and a mentor. But, you know, now it's time for us to take the wheel and go into the next chapter of off-road racing. So, you know, we're excited both for the Mint and UTV Worlds. You know, UTV Worlds, you know, it's just awesome, awesome event. It continues to grow every year. But we want to do more. We want to have more prize purses. We want to, you know, have visible tracking and timing and scoring. And, you know, we just want to make this whole thing bigger and more accessible to everybody, whether they're spectators, racers, you know, or fans.
Well, yeah, just to chime in here too, Jim, it's a formula that sort of we've crafted and molded. And I mean, it goes without saying, but part of the big success of the Mint has been, you know, that 90-mile lap race, you know, style of desert racing. And, you know, not everybody likes it. Some people like the traditional point-to-point stuff, you know, and we do too. We love Vegas to Reno. We love the Baja 1000, especially the rip to the tip. But it's difficult to spectate that stuff. And it's actually not super safe to do it, you know, to chase a race like that, you know, with the whole family in the car. It can be bonkers, as I'm sure you guys know. So, you know, something that we're really proud of from this year is seeing, you know, 10,000 people at Prim on Saturday to watch the return of the bikes and to watch the Sportsman UTV classes and some of the vintage guys race. And then on top of that, you know, Sunday rolls around and here comes 12,000 people, right? And that doesn't even account, you know, for the 4,000 or 5,000 people that were up in Jean, you know? So what that tells us is like, this is a thoroughly exciting sport. And if you give people some of those creature comforts, like some shade and a place to buy a beer and a hot dog, like people will come and support this industry. Right. And it might be people who just own a truck or own a Jeep and they're just kind of dabbling in it. But, you know, for us, that's the future. That's the future of the sport.
Well, you know, and I think the thing with the Mint, too, is as you look at other events, and I know it just happened a couple of weeks ago, and I didn't get to go this year, but it's one of my favorite events of the year, but Long Beach Grand Prix, you know, and here's something that's become just a, it's like a, it's an event just like the Mint, right? I mean, it's, you know, obviously it's just got a lineage just like the Mint, you know, it's been going for 30, 40 years, but you've got IndyCar and IMSA and Stadium Super Trucks, all these other different disciplines coming to one place, but then you've got the concerts and the party, and there's people that go, and I hate to say this, but they don't care about the racing, they just care about the atmosphere. And I think the Mint's, you know, there's some people that come to the Mint and they probably never leave Fremont Street, you know, but I think that that's when you start getting that crossovers, when you can create something where there's something for everybody. And I think that's what the Mint has been, whether, you know, whether you're five or whether you're, you know, 85 and, you know, male, female, whatever, there's something that can draw you at the Mint, something that's interesting and entertaining. And I think once you get that atmosphere, that's when you really start getting those numbers, because it's the place to be, for one reason or another, just because there is something for everyone.
Yeah. I mean, look, we're in the we're in the entertainment capital of the world, on a weekend that just happens to fall typically after NASCAR and before March Madness, you know, and on the weekend that we race the Mint, there's probably, you know, 100 different things that are going on in the city. So to get the kind of attendance numbers that we do, like you're saying, both from the hardcore fans, but also just, you know, casual off-roaders, it's remarkable, you know, and I think you're right. You know, you look around at the Mint and, you know, there's some people that are there with the family and they're like, wow, this is this huge big festival. There's stuff going on. There's stuff I can buy my kids. You know, some of the things we're kicking around are, you know, full-fledged RC car competition, you know, maybe bringing the kids in and letting the kids race for a day in the like 570 and 170 UTV class, right? A mini Mint, let's call it. Just ways to make it, continue to make it a family-friendly atmosphere and to give people a taste of off-road racing, because we really believe once they experience it, that they'll start coming to more races. We'll convert people who have always thought about racing into becoming racers, and then that becomes a whole catalyst for helping the industry, and that's what this has always been about.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, because, you know, I know, you know, you guys have just absolutely slayed it on, you know, the media and the marketing and, you know, the TV package and everything that goes along with the Mint and the experience, you know. But I know moving forward now, looking at 2020, one of the first things you guys had talked about is you know, you're going to have to now all of a sudden generate a rule book. You're going to have, you know, an event director and a tech director. And, you know, and obviously, you know, there's so much that goes along with, you know, now you guys kind of, you know, running everything, you know. I mean, what's, you know, obviously you guys got to be pinned right now, you know, making phone calls and trying to, you know, get together, you know, some of the best in the business to come in and help you guys, you know, in 2020, right?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. But I mean, again, this has been a long time coming, so we've already been working on this. And, you know, I think the thing that our approach is a little bit different in that instead of trying to be an island, you know, we're open to input, and we've reached out to really the people that helped shape this culture. I mean, I spent the last 3 days with Sal Fish picking his brain, and, you know, let's not forget that Sal and Score started Parker, they started Prim, they started Laughlin. So, you know, he is the godfather of off-road.
Absolutely.
And there's a lot of other guys out there that have a lot of knowledge who we have access to. And so it's a little bit, I think we have a little bit different philosophy in the sense of, you know, off-road racing as a community, you know, has an intellectual property that we have access to on every level. So that's the way we look at this thing is, you know, we will put people in key positions. But we're talking to everybody. We're asking everybody, like, how do we make this as good as possible? You know, rather than us saying, oh, look, this is our idea. We're not listening to anybody, and we're going to implement this one way. You know, we're listening. You know, we're communicating. I mean, both Josh and I are on social media and in the forums and emails and phone calls, talking and listening to people, whether they're, you know, people that have worked at different levels in off-road racing, or, spectators or racers, you know, or sponsors, you know, we're communicating with them all and taking that in. And, you know, we'll shape this thing into something that has, you know, more input from everybody, really. You know, I think that's one of the things that we see as both a challenge and an opportunity here is, like, we can evolve this thing, and we should be evolving this thing, because if you're not evolving, you know the saying, you're dying. So, you know, there's a lot of things to do and improve, but we're very confident that, you know, we have the people to do it and the mindset to do it correctly.
Yeah, I think the other thing to mention on that too, Jim, is, you know, people forget or they don't know because they don't necessarily see it, but, you know, we have a crew that comes in for the mint, for the example, of between 70 and 100 people, you know, and it's our television crew and now our new live stream crew. And we've also got event staff. So you bring up a great point and you ask a poignant question, which is, are we prepared to take on race operations? And the answer is yes, we are. And are we going to do it perfectly day one? No, probably not. You know, are we going to make mistakes? Sure, we're going to make mistakes. But like Matt said, we have a lot of really good people with, you know, the same, you know, 20 years of off-road experience that we have in film and TV production ready to step in and help us. And the biggest thing is we're open to people's suggestions, their critiques, their comments. You know, later this week, we're going to launch the first Mint 400 racer and team survey. So what we did is we created the first survey to go out to the racers and the teams, people who have either historically competed at the Mint from 2008 to this year. And it's an opportunity for them to give us their opinion. What did you like? What didn't you like? What was easy for you? What was hard for you? You know, and we know there's a certain percentage of that we can't change. You know, we can't magically make everybody happy. But we're willing to listen and we're willing to look at that data and go, hey, you know what? Everybody wants to race on Friday and Saturday. Nobody wants to race on Sunday. So guess what? I can tell you 100% today, right now, in 2020, we'll be racing on Friday and Saturday. We won't be racing on Sunday. You know, so it's things like that. We get feedback, we make tweaks, and we just try to make everything better.
Well, and I, you know, as a racer, I can attest to that because I know, you know, the past couple of years, some of the complaints were contingency, and you know, my guys were victim of one. We got there at 8:30, and my guys didn't leave contingency until 9:30 at night, pushing the car through. So the next year, you guys go to 2-day contingency. You know, I've been victim of standing in the line to get signed up for 3 hours. You know, this year it took us 10-15 minutes. You know, so you guys are very, you know, you're very on the ball, and I think there's a lot behind the scenes that people don't understand that you're doing, and I think a lot of the racers have taken it for granted, you know what I mean, the changes, you know, but I know me, like, I see it and I'm like, man, they made this improvement, you know, and it's nothing you guys go out and advertise and wave the flag, but it's behind the scenes, you're making things run a little bit smoother, you're making it easier on the racers and the teams, you know, and it's one of those, I think, you know, there's a lot you guys have done and it's just small changes behind the scenes, you know, that a lot of people kind of just don't even think about, but I've seen it and I go, man, these guys, you really are listening to the racers and the fans, you know, to try and make this event as, you know, as amazing as possible.
Yeah. Well, there's three really important categories of people at each of these events. You know, first and foremost, it's the racers and the teams that make this possible. We never lose sight of that. We talk about that constantly here in the office. You know, what is the best thing to do for, you know, for the dollar for dollar value of what we're asking these racers to do. And then a lot of the stuff gets paid for with sponsorships and partnerships. And those fluctuate from year to year. And I'll be honest, sometimes we don't always have the luxury of, like, people working with us as far out as 6 months or 3 months. Sometimes our partnerships come in at the very last minute and we have to hustle to activate on them. But that's what gives us, you know, the financial support to go do a lot of the things that we're doing, like the parade down the strip, like time trials. Time trials is incredibly expensive, and we couldn't do that without the support of guys like Method, right? But then a big important thing for us is the exhibitors, you know, the people that the 200 vendors that come and line Fremont Street and then come to the start finish line and help make that such a big and rad spectacle. So yeah, it's a lot of balls to juggle. You know, and to add race operations into that, you know, yeah, it'll be a challenge, but I think that, you know, we're putting the right people in place, and I think we're approaching it the best way possible, you know, and that was part of why we made this announcement now, is we didn't want to jam anybody up. We didn't want any of those important groups of people, especially the racers, to have to make a huge change to the race program for 2020, like in September or in October, you know. We definitely did not want to steal any thunder away from Silver State this weekend, but it just had to be, it had to be done now so that we could kind of, you know, put things in motion, you know?
Yeah. Well, and here's a question, you know, and this is, you know, well, I guess we haven't even talked about the UTV World Championship, really. It's mainly been talking about the Mint, you know, and that's another animal in and of itself, you know, and I think, you know, one thing that's, I've always found, I have a love-hate relationship with the UTV World Championship, more love than hate, strictly, mainly because of the track, because that thing gets so right. haggard by the last lap, and I'm like, for real, another lap, but I've actually finished it every time I've raced that race, so I can't complain too much, but, you know, that's one of those that I love, you know, mainly because, like, you know, and I think we have all these different, like, subsets of off-road, you know, you've got short course, you've got desert, you know, and we've got, you know, obviously, you know, you start going into there's all, you know, a bunch of different directions we can go. But just talking about UTVs, I think it's really special because it's one of the one events of the year where it kind of bridges the gap. Like there's something for everybody there for the UTV industry, and they can all come together and you have this one really, really big event, you know, and I've seen it, you know, and obviously people want to talk about the Mint 400. It's the juggernaut. It's got the trophy trucks and, you know, and it's got, you know, Robbie Gordon, Rob McCracken and Bryce Menzies, but UTV World Championship, man, I got to tell you, you know, there's some superstars in the UTV industry, and that's become like, you know, the place, the, you know, that you've got to be. You know, I got to ask, man, what are some of the plans with that? You know, we've talked about the Mint, but UTV Worlds, I mean, I see this thing every single year. The entry list just gets deeper and deeper, and, you know, and it's more and more people. I mean, you guys got to be really excited about the future of that event.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that, you know, we were the first ones to recognize, you know, the value of UTVs and what they were going to do for our culture. And that's why we started the event, you know, and it's grown and it continues to grow. And we've got a lot more, we want to do a lot more with it, you know, and continue to grow it. And so, you know, we're looking at all the different ways of improving it and, you know, making it a better event for spectators, for the vendors and sponsors, and, you know, and for the racers, you know. So I spent a lot of time talking, you know, talking to racers about, like, how long the course should be, you know, how many laps should be we racing? Do you like the land rest start? You know, and lots of just little details, because we want people to come, you know, and race and spend money with us and go away and go, man, that was awesome. And we're there, but again, it's like there's lots of things that we want to improve, you know, and timing and scoring is a big one. You know, it's you know, you go to a short course event and you can see timing and scoring on your phone. And so we want to implement that, you know, tracking is another one. We want to raise the visibility so people can watch, you know, what's going on and know, you know, hey, that guy won. At once, not, you know, an hour later or days later. I mean, there's always the challenge of assessing penalties, but, you know, we have to do a better job, and we have to make this sport more professional. And I think UTV racing is a hugely important thing to our sport and culture because it's accessible, you know, and it's attracting more and more racers, new people, et cetera, that want to try their hand at off-road racing. So to us, it's like the gateway drug, right? And we want to take it to more markets and do more UTV World Championships.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we'll see. Time will tell, Jim, but we may need to make a change in the location and the time of year. We're looking at a couple different options right now, and one thing is, you know, our focus is not just on the state of Nevada. Nevada has some insanely awesome terrain, And, you know, we're lucky to be able to race where we do with the Mint and be so close to Vegas, right? Because it's logistically, it's easy to come spectate it. Laughlin's a little more tough. It's a little more landlocked. And, you know, the age demographic and the way that town's set up, I think, honestly, our world championship event is outgrowing it very quickly. So we're looking at other options. You know, Salt Lake City is attractive. Phoenix is attractive. Heck, we might even be able to find the right setup here in California if the stars align and we can get through the permitting process with those guys. But the bigger picture is this. You know, we have to move outside of just the southern tip of Nevada. We have to have a presence in other states. That will require racers and teams to travel sometimes, but look, it's going to open up racing to people in other areas too. I think that's one of the things that's always been cool about short course racing is, you know, that traveling aspect, you know, and the fact that it touches so many people on the West Coast and back when Torque was up and running in the Midwest. Right. So that's something that we have in mind for sure. For these, you know, Mint's always going to be in Vegas. UTV World Championship is totally malleable. Like we may be in Salt Lake next year. We may be in Phoenix the year after. We want to mix that up. And we want to produce other races. I mean, I don't think it's any secret that, like, you know, we've developed a formula for the Mint that we think we can take to other markets. Now, starting a race from scratch in this day and age with this complicated and congested of a calendar for this industry is no small task. But, you know, that's 2021, 2022, you know, we'll see. We're looking at all of our options right now. And, you know, it's actually for Matt and I to sit down and to flesh out what a fresh new race could be, and build something from scratch is really exciting to us. You know, I think that's what we were meant to do at this stage in our career.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I think that being said, I mean, Jesus, you know, there's a lot. I look back at, you know, the history of off-road, and I mean, HDRA had some amazing races in the state of Colorado. I mean, I know there's some off-road racing in Texas currently, but, you know, I look at Texas and I'm like, how is there not a massive desert race in Texas every year? You know what I mean? And that's truck country, right? Yeah. You know, the OEMs, I mean, you know, you got, you know, Toyota's got a major plant there. I mean, Ford is, you know, basically the official truck of Texas. You know, I just look at things like that. And I'm like, man, how, you know, and I think, you know, us as off-road community, we're as guilty as anybody where sometimes we get stuck in our ways and it's just easy, right? Parker's easy. Laughlin, Vegas, you know, it's easy. Barstow, it's easy. You know, I think we forget to step out of our box, but you start looking at the history of off-road and some of the places we've had, you know, these amazing events and stuff. It's like, why aren't we back there? You know, why aren't we going to these places? You know, it seems like you guys are taking that thought, and especially UTV World's talking about it revolving, you know, moving. It's like, you know, I know Matt was just doing, you know, an event with the NFL, but Super Bowl, it moves every year, right? Why can't one of our races move right every year? You know, like there's no reason why it can. I think it's just nobody's ever, you know, took the initiative to make it happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think the best thing we could do would be to share the excitement and the enthusiasm of being at these events live and hearing and seeing and smelling these cars and these amazing vehicles, and move that around regionally in the Southwest and even the Pacific Northwest of the United States. Cause I think there's just so many different niche markets, that are being tapped into. And look at, there's no denying that the proliferation of the UTV market has helped dramatically, but I think a lot of us probably have seen that taper off a little bit. And I think we have to be smart and say, look, we can't just sit back and expect UTVs to be the only gateway drug to this sport and to this industry. You know, I mean, Matt could talk a little bit more about that because that's his wheelhouse for sure. But yeah, we need to not be afraid to travel because it's going to create opportunity for us. Now, I know all the racers that are listening to this are like, yeah, Martelli's want to send us to Portland. How the hell am I going to afford that? don't freak out. We haven't locked anything in stone yet. And the thing we've learned most of all is that those guys need 6 to 9 months to plan. We hear you. We hear you loud and clear on that. But we are going to push the sport and push the industry to be more creative and think outside the box. Don't forget, you know, we were there in 1995 when this little thing called X Games kicked off in Mission Bay in San Diego. And we all stood there and made fun of it. Remember laughing at the ice pit climbing? Remember the luge? Remember the surf contest they had in Mission Bay? Yeah. I mean, it was ridiculous, right? And we laughed at it. And 7 years later, when they introduced rally racing, who was standing there filming Colin McRae, you know, in the LA Coliseum? Yeah, we were. We all were. And suddenly we became champions and cheerleaders for the X Games brand because it made action sports relevant to a global market. We can do that with off-road. And Robbie's tried to do it with the stadium stuff, and he's gotten pretty good at it. I mean, it's a cool program. It's putting it on in the mind's eye of people. But man, there's nothing like desert racing. We all know that. And you know, we have to push the envelope and put this in front of more people. That's really what it comes down to.
Yeah. You know, and it's funny you say that because, you know, I actually did a really, really candid interview with Brian Deegan a week or so ago. And he was talking about that, you know, and I said, Deegan, I said, is there anything in your career you haven't accomplished? I said, dude, I said, you know, you got enough, you know, X Games hardware to start a damn jewelry store. I said, you know, you've won short course races, you know, you've raced GRC rally cars, you've gone to Europe and done, you know, World Rallycross. I said, is there anything that you want to accomplish or do? And he's like, you know, he's like, I could retire today and be happy with my career. He's like, seriously, he's like, I won't be that guy that hangs on too long. But he's like, the one thing I haven't done that I really want to do is race a trophy truck. You know, and here's Brian Deegan, and that's like, you know, he's accomplished everything, but what's he want to do? He wants to go desert racing. You know, that's, you know, I think that puts into perspective what you guys just said. Like, there's nothing like desert racing.
Yeah. So. I mean, that's, you know, Deegan and I have talked about it quite a bit, and you know, when he made the move to short course, I actually was trying to convince him to go into desert racing. And, you know, at the time it just made sense to go into short course. And, you know, he's had a very successful career in short course, you know, once again, proving that he's a true champion. I mean, that short course is not easy. But, you know, that's, you know, what you're highlighting is one of the issues that we plan to fix. And, you know, off-road desert racing is, you know, creating this bridge where more professional racers can come over and make a living in this, you know, so everything is kind of, you know, interconnected here. Right. So, you know, if we can, you know, whatever you want to call it, fluff the top class and that attracts more dollars, that's going to trickle down to everybody. Like, we're under no qualms about the culture that we're representing. We're representing the class 11 guys to the trophy truck guys. Like, we're not in the mindset that, you know, we want to do away with the lower classes. That's part of our culture. What's great about the culture of desert racing is that today you can go build a vehicle in your garage with your buddies and come race the Mint 400, you know, and it's the same, you know, you're going to have the same experience that a guy spending a few a few hundred thousand dollars racing a trophy truck has, you know, all he just has a bigger budget and a faster vehicle. So that's what makes it truly American and punk rock. And we're going to keep that. And we want to, you know, push that even further. But, you know, that is the reason why we need more exposure and more value and need to grow it, because the more valuable we are at the top, the more those things trickle down. Now, I understand there's groups of people out there who don't want to be hassled with it and they want a club race. So that's great. There's Snore and More and lots of grassroots organizations out there that, you know, we have great relationships with. We want to continue to see that part of desert racing thrive. And, you know, and really it benefits us because it's a, you know, it's basically a feeder series for us. So, you know, again, you know, this is more than us just saying, hey, we're going to just run the Mint. This is us, you know, taking control of the steering wheel for the future of off-road racing. And, you know, like we talk about it all the time between us, Jim. It's like, we're invested. There is no like, hey, we'll sell this thing and go play golf or whatever. I hate golf, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we've been in the dirt, you know, as participants, let's say, or as diehard enthusiasts of this culture since like 1989, you know, I think 89 San Felipe 250, little did I know that my best friend in the neighborhood, his dad worked for the McMillan company and, you know, just gotten my driver's license. He's like, hey, let's go down to San Felipe. Cool. Let's do it. You're driving my dad's truck. Don't screw it up, you know? And, wake up the next morning and lo and behold, we're pitting for Mark McMillan, you know? And I'm like, holy crap, what is this? Like, what are we looking at here? This is insane. And then, you know, a couple years later, we get a call from Ken Block at DC and he's seen our work and wants us to come film rally racing and run around North America with the Subaru team. Right. Awesome. You know, then we get a call from the McMillan family and they're like, hey, Andy's going to be testing with Robbie Gordon down in Plaster City. You guys want to come down and maybe do some filming. I mean, it's just so funny how these things, when they start out and they're so minor and you're not really paying too much attention to them, you know, and then they blow up into these huge things, you know. Dana Zamaloa, from working as a marketing director of General Tire, calls us up. Hey, it's 2010. You guys want to film the Mint 400 and make a TV show out of it for us? Yes, Dana. Yes, we
you
do.
You say yes.
You know, and we show up with, you know, arguably all the wrong shit. Like, you know, we didn't do a live to tape special. We didn't have on camera talent. We didn't know how to do any of that back then. You know, we showed up with the same guys that made some of the best snowboard films in history. We bring this little known red camera thing out there. You know, we set up dolly tracks on the outside of turns at the 2010 Mint, you know, and film slow motion shit when that was a brand new thing. And I'm damn sure know that nobody was popping for $20,000-$30,000 helicopters with a Cineflex camera attached to it back then too. So, you know, it's always been about progression for us, and it's always been about capturing how awesome and how heroic the sport is. You know, we're in the studio right now cutting the TV show for the Mint and actually working on UTV World Championship simultaneously. And you know what our biggest problem is? Our biggest problem is figuring out how to do justice to everything that happened, because there's about 95 kick-ass stories interwoven into those 2 days of tech and contingency and those 2 days of racing. And it's everything from J.N. Roberts, you know, motorcycle Hall of Fame, off-road Hall of Fame, first guy to win the Mint 400, and as humble to this day as the day is long, coolest dude ever. And he's there with Jack Johnson and you got Campbell and you got all these guys who are back. And oh, by the way, 160 motorcycles show up to race. And, you know, six of them are on Harleys, you know, it's just like, and that's just the bikes. So we respect this. We respect this more than we can really put into words. We take it really seriously. And we're humbled by the feedback that we've been getting all week about this change. And again, I just want to reiterate that we have nothing but love for Best in the Desert, for Liz Marshall, for Donald Jackson, for Keith, for Miguel, for all the people that we've been rubbing elbows with for the last 8 years. Uh-huh. that have made it possible for us to be, you know, as successful.
All the volunteers.
You know, all the volunteers, like, you know.
I think too, Josh, just to jump in here, because you're underlying like a really important, you know, point that I want to make, which is that, you know, this whole thing, you know, needs to evolve. And that's really what we're interested in doing, what we're talking about. And for multiple reasons. And the big reason being that it needs, if it doesn't evolve, it will go away, you know? And we need to increase our visibility. We need to increase our power. We need to do a lot of work to put ourselves in a position so that, you know, desert racing is opening up and not, you know, being shut down. And the only way that we're going to do that is by being better business people and using economics to force people to make decisions in the government to open up more land and look at us as a business rather than some, you know, little hobbyists playing in the desert. I mean, we're a multi, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars globally in as generated by off-road, and you know, we need to act accordingly.
Yeah. Well, here's a question, you know, kind of talking about those lines, you know, and you know, the evolution and things like that, you know, and you talked about you know, Ken Block a while back and, you know, getting that call, and, you know, and I got to say, like, you know, you guys have always been on top of trends. I mean, I'd never really even heard the term viral video until the very first Gymkhana came out. And now, you know, you look, and I know I've been very fortunate that, you know, to work not only in, you know, in the off-road space, you know, and have, you know, basically my life be here, but to been invited with open arms into, you know, the IndyCar and NHRA world. And there's things I've learned over there that I'm able to come and apply to my programs and things like that, and, you know, in off-road. But you guys very much so are the same way, where you've gone with you know, with Michelin and done stuff with IMSA and, you know, and things like that. But you guys have worked in all these various spaces. I mean, where do you see the future of off-road? I mean, what can we bring over from things like NASCAR and, you know, and IMSA and these other places where, you know, you guys have, you know, had involvements in? And what can we do? You know, what do you think is next for off-road, you know?
I mean, there's a ton. You know, the big thing is visibility, you know, and raising our visibility. You know, the other thing is the fan experience. You know, the other thing is the, you know, helping drivers become, you know, more professional. And that doesn't mean we've got to turn them all into, NASCAR style guys who are vanilla, but, you know, we've got to clean things up and we've got to be more professional. And I don't think it's going to happen overnight. I think it's going to be something that grows. But if you look at when we took over the Mint and what it's turned into, we have done that. And so now this is an opportunity for us to take, you know, again, control of our destiny and control of the destiny of the future of off-road racing, and, you know, and steer that ship more and implement those things from other disciplines of motorsports. Josh, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I mean, I agree 1,000%. I mean, what did we see at Dakar last year? You know, what did we see at Goodwood? You know, we worked with Michelin out at Sebring and then turned around and went down to Atlanta for 24 hours of Le Mans. You know, we just came back from Nashville to see the NFL draft activation. So, you know, a racer said to me yesterday that he was a little bit concerned that the event would get to a point where it outshined the actual racing. And I totally understand that perspective. I mean, there's definitely a difference between, you know, a couple hundred racers showing up and doing battle, you know, mainly in front of their crews and their friends, and not having 1,000 TV cameras and helicopters and a live stream. And, you know, it's a different style of racing. That's always going to exist. I don't think that's ever going to go away, you know? And we love that. Matt and I want to race. We want to race more. Matt did about 2 or 3 races last year, and we want to do more of it too, because we want to have that experience also. But I think what we're talking about is the opportunity to help an industry, an entire industry, grow and take advantage of how bitchin' this sport really is. And I think that there's a big, big segment of our community that wants and in some cases really needs that exposure. You know, there are plenty of businesses that they're not mom and pop tiny little companies anymore, and they're not quite super mega corporate. We're selling $1 billion worth of stuff yet, and they need to be in front of people and have an opportunity to market to them, and racing's the way to go on it. So you're going to see, you know, you're going to see more, more cool on-site activation, right? There's going to be more stuff for people to do. We're going to continue to make it an awesome experience. And the goal really is so that, like, if you're a racer and you're talking to your buddies and you're like, hey, come to the Mint next year. There's this going on, this going on, this going on, and this going on. Well, that's a lot different than, hey, let's just go out to the middle of the desert, throw up an easy up, and sit there with the cooler. Nothing wrong with that. We love that. We do that all the time. But if we're trying to get people on the fringe who don't know why this sport is so bitching to come and spend 3 or 4 days in Vegas or Salt Lake City or wherever we're racing, there's got to be some pretty cool shit waiting for them when they get there. There's got to be stuff for them to do and for their kids to do. The kids is the big thing, right? You know, I'm a parent, so, and I know, like, my daughter, she's got an attention span.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like this 2-hour window where it's like, is this cool or am I over it, right? So the reason we designed the Mint midway, the start-finish line this year, the way that we did, it was very purposeful. You know, where do we sit in the shade? Where do the kids go? Where is it safe to stand? You know, we knew that if we put a fence up around that area and created a secure space, that when parents walked in the door, they would be like, oh, okay, yeah, my kid's not just going to run out into the parking lot and, you know, accidentally get run over or whatever it is, right? So yeah, there's all these things that we've been thinking about that you know, we're going to borrow. And, you know, are all of them going to work? No, some of them aren't, you know, but people will tell us and we'll adapt and we'll make it better the next year.
And I think, to your point, Jim, I think there's so many things that we can change from these other forms of motorsport, you know. But one thing that we're very clear about is that we learned from action sports is that, you know, people that are passionate about this culture need to be in control. You know, this can't be run by, you know, a spreadsheet or bean counters or, you know, somebody who's not, you know, doesn't have their chips all in this. It's got to be us. You know, it's got to be people that grew up in this culture, people that, you know, want to continue to be involved in this culture and want to see it thrive. And that's who we are, you know. And oftentimes we make decisions that, you know, cost us money, but we think it's right for the Mint, or we think it's right for the betterment of the sport and culture. And we're going to continue to operate that way. You know, because there's just a lot to be done and a lot to be improved. And, you know, we're just, again, you know, we're so tiny in motorsports, and motorsports is so tiny in sports. You know, we look at this all as upside. And, you know, one of our favorite, you know, analogies to draw is the UFC. You know, we're both, Josh and I are both, you know, grew up in martial arts and big mixed martial arts fans. And, you know, we've watched those guys grow that business from zero, or from $1.2 million to $4 billion sale. And, you know, we're not looking at this point to build something and sell it. We're just looking to build something the way we think it should be, you know, done. And garner the value and the respect that we think it deserves.
Well, and I think the big thing along those lines too is we know, you know, the off-road industry has some of the most amazing people in it, but you and I both know that things have to be done in an authentic way. They've got to be authentic, you know what I mean? Because the minute that you pull something in from the outside and, you know, and it's just a cash grab or something like that, people see right through it and you get assassinated and they immediately turn their back on it, you know? So it's one of those where there's a right way to do things in this industry. And, you know, and you know, all the three of us, we all eat, sleep, and breathe this. We can sit here and bench race all day long about, you know, what we'd like to see and things like that. But, you know, there's a way we have to go about doing things because we have such a history and lineage and legacy in this sport, you know what I mean, that things have to, you know, we can evolve, but they've got to be done in the right way, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, and you know, look, it's a difficult thing to try to make everybody happy in every situation, you know, but I think that we have to think from a community perspective sometimes and think about what is the best thing for the most amount of people. Yeah. And if you're on the short end of that stick, that's not a message that you want to hear. And there are some, you know, budget conscious racers that have said to us, you know, it's getting to the point where we can't afford the mint and that bumps us out. And we get it. You know, if you're coming from Ohio or, you know, someplace in the Midwest, just getting to Vegas, like, you know, you're going to tow your race vehicle 2,000 miles or whatever it is to get to Vegas. Like, that's crazy. We want to try, we're thinking up ways to try to make those people always have access to this great race. And, you know, we're going to be making some announcements in the near future about that. But on the flip side, you know, when we made the decision 2 years ago to produce a 12-hour live stream for the 50th anniversary of the Mint, we knew that it was going to be expensive and we knew that there would be a certain expectation of quality and that we had to meet that day one. There's no, you know, there's no ramping up to having a kick-ass live stream. You no. either do it or you don't do it. That is the perfect example of how Matt and I and our organization are reinvesting in the sport, because we didn't have to do that. We wanted to do that. And we want to do that to show people like Netflix, Amazon Prime, and, you know, some of these other sport outlets like ESPN, that this sport is ready for the same showcase that other motorsports are being given, like NASCAR, like IMSA, right? I mean, our activation at the Mint this year was probably 1/5 of the size of what we saw down in Sebring or Petit Le Mans in Atlanta, right? But it was 1/5 of it. You know, it's pretty awesome. Like, we're heading in the right direction. And as soon as we can get these major OEMs like Dodge and Ford and Chevy and Jeep to start interacting with our industry again and start coming in, and they will only do that if there's 20, 30, 40,000 people there. It has to be worth their while. It has to be worth their time. But as soon as those people, those brands start engaging with us again, like they did back in the 80s, now we're onto something, you know, now we're really onto something. You know, we want to see desert racing on TV and live on the internet, you know, the same way that UFC came out of nowhere and just exploded. So that's our vision, man.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, it's funny you mentioned that too, because I remember like UFC, you know, it started out and I see very much kind of a similar thing about off-road, where it was like, God, the first UFCs happened, right? And we used to go and rent the UFC 1 and 2 videotapes from the local, yep. you know, the local, you know, VHS rental place, you know, and it was like, we wore those tapes out, but it was like this, you know, it was like this thing. It was before viral videos in the internet, right? It was just like, dude, did you see that Ultimate Fighting? You know, and it was, you know, and it was just hilarious, you know, the way things have gone. But I see off-road very much the same way right now. You know, people are just like, oh, did you see that? You know, and I go next week I'm going to the Indy GP at Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and I guarantee you I'm going to walk through Gasoline Alley. And I'm going to be interviewing the best race car drivers in the whole damn world, and they're going to want to talk about trophy trucks. It's just like, because we've got that effect right now. It's like, oh, did you see that? Oh, that's so awesome. You know, and it's just, it's funny the way that works. But I see off-road right now in the same light as the UFC when it kind of was really starting to get traction, where, you know, people just want to talk about it. It's like, wow, did you, like, wow, I don't want to miss this, you know?
Absolutely. You know, I mean, That's the big thing, is like, that's what we have. I mean, you know, we have this amazing show and this amazing thing that's visceral and it's undeniable. And every single person we've ever brought, you know, to off-road racing, you know, they're blown away. And the first thing they do is they look at me and they go, why isn't this giant? And, you know, the big reason is, you know, it's exposure, but it's also a lot of organizational things, right? It's simple things like, you know, you can't, you know, I love Baja, but I can't take, you know, a CEO of a company and his wife there. They're not allowed to go into Mexico for insurance reasons. So where do we take them? Well, I'll tell you, come to Vegas, go to the Mint, right? And we, you know, as strong as the Mint is, we want to do more Mints, and we want to do them in bigger markets, you know. Because you know, that's what's necessary. I mean, one big thing I can point to NASCAR is, you know, they built an amazing business, and it was built around the idea that they're going to major markets because that's where the dollars and the eyeballs and the people and everything is. So we've got to do the same thing. We got to take a page out of NASCAR and apply it to what we're doing. You know, we also look at, you know, Formula One as, you know, there's some things there that we can apply, not everything, because I think, you know, the downside to Formula One and part of the reason that it hasn't succeeded as much as it could have in America is it's too elitist, you know.
Yeah.
A guy who makes 40 grand a year has a hard time relating to, you know, Formula One, you know, especially because of the ticket prices. So, you know, we've got to remember that this is American off-road racing, and we've got to appeal to the families, you know, of America. And I think we have something that's pretty magical and, you know, and very economical.
Yeah, no, and I think that's true there. I mean, you know, as much as we want to talk about the expense of trophy trucks and how things are crazy, and, you know, we went from $150,000 builds to $250,000 to $500,000 to now, you know, we all know the rumors around Bryce's new hot rod, what the hell that thing cost. But still, in the big scheme of things, it's nothing compared to, say, a Top Fuel car in NHRA or an Indy car or, you know, or something like that, or like Formula One. We didn't even want to go there. Or, you know, one of these prototypes they run in IMSA. You know, like, yes, right, our stuff has got expensive, but in the big scheme of things, it's still really, really affordable in, you know, major motorsport terms.
It is. And I think when people react, when racers react to that thinking and they go, ah, man, it actually is super expensive. I think that one thing we all have to keep in mind is, you know, in those bigger motorsports, there's big, big dollars flying around. And the brands that are involved are not necessarily just car racing brands, right? That's one thing that NASCAR did and Formula One did it too. As soon as they went outside of the auto racing advertising world and started talking to quote unquote non-endemic brands like your Geico's and your, you know, AT&T's and stuff like that, there was this huge influx of cash, and that allowed them to make their series more professional looking, more professionally well run. Now, again, that's changed, and not everybody liked it. I'm sure there's a lot of people when NASCAR grew from regional races at the local track to big time stadiums with $40, $50, $100, $200 tickets, pissed them off and they didn't want to support it. But it's dollar for dollar, you know, the best oval track racing you're going to see in America right now. Just as, you know, I'm totally engaged with what's going on in Formula One right now. I think this year in Formula One, it's been some of the best racing so far in the last couple of years. Right. So, yeah, we need to draw that kind of enthusiasm in, and we need to be able to embrace non-endemic brands. Right. So if engaging with a company like Geico allows us to do 2 12-hour live streams and live stream time trials at the Mint next year, that's huge. That's big for everybody. Right. If we can do a Spanish version of our live stream next year, tapping into new markets, that would be awesome, right? So these things do take money and they do take financial backing. And, you know, I think as we become more professional, so too will we have opportunities and doors will open for us. So, you know, hopefully it doesn't turn into such an expensive sport. Our commitment is to always have grassroots racing. I mean, don't forget, we're the guys that walked into Casey's office 5 years ago and said, we got to have class 11 racing. We don't want it to be thrown into some vintage class. They've got enough dudes. They want to race class 11. And Casey was happy to do that and create that class for us. And then, you know, Matt has been working very closely with Norm on the vintage and open vintage classes, right? I don't think we've killed a class. I think we've done a lot to support 7100 as well. So, you know, I think 6100 is hot right now. Spec unlimited trucks are hot right now, and I think that's going to continue to grow. It was awesome to see, you know, Jensen Button in a car this year, retired Formula One guy. We're going to go after Alonso and see if we can get him in a truck next year too.
I think Alonso
is good.
Yeah. Well, and talking about Alonso, I mean, gosh, this guy, you know, I love drivers like that. Jensen's one, but Alonso, I mean, he's won Monaco, you know, he's got this whole triple crown thing. He's won Le Mans. He wants to win, he wants to win the Indy 500. He's won 24 hours at Daytona. You know, he's tested for Dakar. He's tested NASCARs now. I mean, I think he wants to do Daytona 500 Dakar. I would think he wants to go do the, you know, Mint 400 Baja 1000. This guy wants to run the biggest races on the planet. Like, that's what he wants to do, and you start talking about that, and the Mint 400 comes into play, right? It's got to.
It does, and it did back in the 70s. You know, there was a reason that Parnelli Jones raced the Mint. There was a reason that it attracted, you know, guys like Steve McQueen, and that's just touching on the guys who jumped in and out of the sport that were super well known. I'm sure there were dozens, if not hundreds, of guys who raced Indy and NASCAR back then who would come race the Mint. It was part of a triple crown. It was like you go race Le Mans, you know, 24 hours of Le Mans, and then you go race Indy, and then you try to tackle the Mint 400. Granted, back then it was a little bit more of a party festive atmosphere. It wasn't quite as serious, maybe, unless you're at like the top levels, but. Yeah, I mean, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to restore it to that level, and it's working. It's working. It's maybe not working as fast as Matt and I would like. Like, we're always like, now, you know, let's do it. But, you know, we had Josh Koscheck this year. You know, we had
Kane Velasquez.
Like, you know, it'd be like getting Muhammad Ali to come race the Mint.
Yeah.
That's basically what happened this year. And every time we do that, every time that blip goes outside of our off-road bubble, it's like a fish hook, and it brings another group of like 30 or 40 people. It's exponential growth.
Yeah. Well,
and that's a good thing for this industry.
You know, and you talk about that, and I know we worked together, you know, this was back last year when we had Antron Brown and Steve Torrance and StarCar, you know, and you guys, we worked with NHRA, and they put together, a highlight package that, you know, you guys had shot, and they aired it during the Fox Sports live NHRA broadcast. And I got hit mm-hmm. with so many people going, holy crap, you know what I mean? Like, this is amazing. Like, it was just those eyeballs. Like, I started getting Twitter followers from people that were NHRA fans, you know, and things like that. It was just, like, it was mind-blowing. Like, you know, people, like, as much as we think we're widely known, I think just those little blips with Kane Velasquez and Josh Koscheck and things like Antron and that, when you can get that little highlight clip, you know, in an NHRA broadcast, like, there's still people that really, they may have heard of off-road, but they don't really understand what's actually going on, you know?
Yeah, 100%. I think they're shocked by how accessible it is.
Yeah.
And that's something we want to keep and promote. One of the reasons that we did the Mint 400 grid walk this year is because we've seen that in Formula One, we've seen it in WRC, and we realized, you know what, a lot of these racers had their teams, you know, push their vehicles through tech and contingency. Let's give the race fans that are here at the start finish line at the Mint right now a chance to walk down, shake their hands, wish them luck. And man, that was the coolest thing ever. I mean, you know, first guy through the gate, Scott McMillan, you know, holding his grandson, I think grandson or granddaughter, walking up to wish, you know, Andy and Luke and Dan luck at that race. And then everybody was super respectful and just stoked for the opportunity. You know, guys like BJ Baldwin are doing autographs, and that's exactly what it's all about, man. You know, you don't get the opportunity to engage very much in these other motorsports. And I think the fact that you can in desert racing is such an important thing.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, that being said, you know, there are some superheroes in our sport and, you know, people, you know, guys like BJ and Robbie and, you know, and the list goes on. But, you know, these guys, massive followings, both endemic and non-endemic. But, you know, people look at them as, you know, these major celebrities, you know, and I think a lot of us, we take it for granted because we know these guys and we've, you know, drank beer with them and shot the shit and everything else. But, you know, I think still, like, for people to get to go and meet Robbie Gordon or BJ Baldwin, like, that's a massive, massive deal. And, you know, it's like people can be, say, a Kevin Harvick fan and, you know, be a Kevin Harvick fan for 20 years. They never get the opportunity to actually meet Kevin Harvick because it's always behind barriers and closed doors and things like that. And I think, you know, allowing that accessibility to the stars of our sport, that's massive.
Totally. I mean, that's our strength, you know, is that, again, what's great about off-road racing is it's American. It's true and true American, and it's accessible, and it's we want to celebrate that. We don't want to ruin that by trying to turn it into Formula One. You know, yes, we have the top guys, you know, out there racing for us, and they are, you know, a significant draw, but you can't go get a VW Bug and race the Indy 500. You know, and you can do that, you know, in our sport. And that's what's, you know, really makes it a culture beyond just a show. And, you know, we know that, and we want to continue to shepherd that into the, you know, into the future, into really, I mean, it goes back to exposing this, you know, to more people, more brands, you know, more racers, more of everything to, you know, bring more value to everybody.
Yeah. And I mean, just to kind of bookend it here, Jim, because I know you got a million other things to get to with the program, you know, to the racers and the teams that are listening, you guys are going to get a very thought out custom survey this week from us at the Mint. And, you know, we're asking for your candid feedback, your ideas and your suggestions. And for everybody else that's a part of this industry, just shoot us an email, ideas@themint400.com. So send us your thoughts, and I can't promise that we'll implement every single thing that people suggest, but we'll certainly read everything and discuss it and keep the best of the best in our minds when we're planning everything for next year. And, you know, one thing people can also expect is a lot of communication out of our camp. You know, it was a big takeaway last year to understand that, you know, racers and teams and sponsors and vendors, everybody wants information as early as possible. So, I mean, we hit the ground running this week. We've got meetings scheduled with BLM. We're talking to partners about sponsorship packages for next year already. We're, you know, reviewing what we did right and wrong with our TV show and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's a really well thought out plan, and yeah, we're looking forward to executing our vision for the future, you know?
Nice. Well, I appreciate the time, guys. Always fun catching up with you, and I'm sure we could do this probably once a week and always have stuff to talk about, but always fun catching up, and I guess great finally having both of you on at the same time, man.
Yeah. Awesome to be here, Jim. We love the program. Huge fans. And yeah, keep doing what you're doing, and everybody be safe out there at Silver State this weekend.
Good times catching up with the Martelli brothers here on the 4Wheel Parts Down and Dirty Show Off-Road Edition, powered by Polaris Razor. Thanks to you guys for tuning in. Once again, before we let you go, please go over to iTunes, hit the subscribe button to this show, and you'll also get my other show, the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor, the national show. We talk all things motorsports. Check out Project Action on Podcast One. I've got my guest this week, Ryan Hall, Olympic marathoner, and just wrote a book. And then we've also got next week, my good friend Jonathan Coyle. He's in the fitness industry, husband to Natalie Eva Marie. Got this new ambassador deal with Rain Energy Drink, you know, the new fitness drink from Monster Energy. So lots of good stuff coming in the next couple of weeks on both, actually all three of my shows now. Check me out. It's at JimBeaver15 on social media, also on YouTube, Twitch, all the cool video platforms. And check us out on the web, downanddirtyshow.com. With that, we are going to see you guys next week right here on the 4Wheel Parts Down and Dirty Show Off-Road Edition.
4WP is more than a store. We're truck and Jeep experts and have been for over 50 years. From wheel and tire upgrades to full custom builds, 4WP has you covered. Whether you want to order the best parts online or shop in store, Do the work yourself or get it done by a pro. All roads lead to 4WP. Do your rig right. Shop online or find your store at 4WP.com.